All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
I had always enjoyed the sense of community that came with attending church. The familiar faces, the comforting rituals, and the serene atmosphere always provided a sense of peace. That sense of peace was shattered one summer when I volunteered to help out at a suburban church during their renovation. The church had been around for decades, a modest building with a white steeple and stained glass windows that depicted scenes from the Bible. Father Thomas, the parish priest, was a kind man who welcomed everyone with open arms. When he asked for volunteers to help renovate the church, I eagerly signed up. It seemed like a good way to give back to the community and spend some extra time in a place I loved. I arrived early on the first day, greeted by the cheerful sounds of birds chirping and the warm sun casting long shadows on the church's facade. Inside, I found Father Thomas and a few other volunteers discussing the day's tasks. "Good morning, everyone," Father Thomas said, smiling. "Today, we'll start by clearing out the storage room in the basement. It's been years since anyone's gone through it, so there might be some surprises." We made our way to the basement, a cool, dimly lit space with stone walls and a low ceiling. The storage room was cluttered with old furniture, boxes of forgotten belongings, and dusty relics from past generations. As we worked, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were disturbing something that had been at rest for a long time. Around midday, we took a break and gathered in the kitchen for lunch. That's when Father Thomas mentioned the new parishioner. "Her name is Margaret," he said, sipping his coffee. "She's just moved to the area and is eager to get involved with the church. She should be here any minute." As if on cue, the door creaked open and a woman stepped inside. Margaret was tall and thin, with long, dark hair that hung in loose waves around her pale face. Her eyes were strikingly blue, almost unnaturally so, and she had an air of quiet intensity that made me feel uneasy. "Welcome, Margaret," Father Thomas said warmly. "We're glad to have you with us." Margaret nodded and offered a faint smile. "Thank you, Father. I'm happy to be here." Despite her polite demeanor, there was something about Margaret that set me on edge. As we resumed our work in the basement, I found myself glancing at her often, trying to figure out what it was that made me so uneasy. She moved gracefully, almost too gracefully, as if she was gliding rather than walking. In her eyes, those piercing blue eyes seemed to see right through me. The first few days went by without incident. We made good progress on clearing out the storage room, and Margaret quickly became a regular part of our group. But my unease around her never faded. It was like a shadow that followed me, always lurking at the edge of my consciousness. One evening, as we were wrapping up for the day, Father Thomas asked Margaret to stay behind for a moment. I lingered nearby, curious to see what they would discuss. "Margaret," Father Thomas began, "I wanted to talk to you about your involvement in the church. You've been a wonderful help, but I've noticed something unusual about you." Margaret's expression remained calm, but there was a flicker of something dark in her eyes. "Unusual, Father?" "Yes," he said, his voice gentle but firm. "I've sensed a presence around you, something that doesn't belong here. I believe it might be affecting you." For a moment, Margaret said nothing. Then, her lips curled into a cold smile. "You're very perceptive, Father. But you have no idea what you're dealing with." Before anyone could react, Margaret's body convulsed, and a guttural growl erupted from her throat. Her eyes rolled back, and she collapsed to the floor, writhing and thrashing as if in the grip of some unseen force. "Dear God," Father Thomas whispered, crossing himself. "It's a possession," panic set in as we watched Margaret's body contort and her voice distort into a deep, malevolent tone. "You cannot save her," the voice hissed. "She belongs to us now." Father Thomas acted quickly, ordering us to hold her down while he fetched his Bible and holy water. We struggled to keep Margaret restrained, her strength unnaturally powerful as she fought against us. Her eyes, now completely white, stared at us with a hatred that seemed to pierce our very souls. Father Thomas returned, his face pale but determined. He opened his Bible and began reciting prayers, his voice steady despite the fear in his eyes. He sprinkled holy water on Margaret, and she screamed, a blood-curdling sound that echoed through the basement. The struggle seemed to go on forever. Margaret's body twisted and...
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Convulsed, her screams filling the air. The oppressive atmosphere in the room grew heavier, and it felt as if the very walls were closing in on us. But Father Thomas did not waver, his prayers growing louder and more forceful. Finally, after what felt like an eternity, Margaret's body went limp, and the room fell silent. We released our grip on her, exhausted and shaken. Father Thomas knelt beside her, checking for a pulse. "She's alive," he said, relief evident in his voice. "But we need to get her help." Margaret was taken to a nearby hospital, where she remained in a catatonic state for several days. Father Thomas contacted a specialist in exorcisms, who agreed to take on Margaret's case. The ordeal was far from over, but for now, the immediate danger had passed. The events of that evening left a deep scar on our small community. The basement, once a place of hidden secrets, had become a place of terror and darkness. Father Thomas continued his work with unwavering faith, but the memory of Margaret's possession haunted him. As for me, I could never shake the feeling of those piercing blue eyes staring into my soul. The experience had shattered my sense of peace and left me with a lingering fear of the unknown. I still attended church, but the once comforting rituals now seemed tinged with an air of unease. Margaret eventually recovered, but she never returned to our church. The specialist who treated her claimed that the possession had been successfully banished, but I couldn't help but wonder if the darkness truly ever left her. The incident served as a chilling reminder that even in places of worship, where one seeks solace and sanctuary, the shadows of the unknown can lurk, waiting for the right moment to strike. I had always been fascinated by history, particularly the history of old buildings. So, when I was offered the opportunity to stay in a historic rectory attached to a century-old church, I eagerly accepted. The rectory, with its tall, imposing structure and Gothic architecture, seemed like the perfect place to immerse myself in the past. The church itself was a magnificent building, with towering spires and intricate stained glass windows. The rectory, however, had a more somber air about it. It was a large, two-story building made of dark stone, with ivy creeping up the walls and windows that seemed to watch you as you approached. Father Michael, the parish priest, welcomed me warmly. He was a middle-aged man with kind eyes and a gentle demeanor. He showed me around the rectory, pointing out the various rooms and sharing stories about the building's history. "This rectory has been here for over 100 years, he said, his voice echoing in the empty hallways. "Many priests have lived here, and each one has left their mark. It's a place rich with history. I nodded, taking in the grand staircase, the high ceilings, and the antique furniture that filled the rooms. It was beautiful, but there was also something unsettling about the place. It felt like the walls were holding secrets, whispering stories of the past that were just out of reach. My first night in the rectory was uneventful. I settled into my room, a cozy space with a large four-poster bed and a view of the churchyard. I fell asleep quickly, the day's excitement and the comfort of the old, creaky bed lulling me into a deep slumber. It was on the second night that things began to change. I was awoken in the middle of the night by a strange noise. At first, I thought it was just the building settling, but as I lay there, listening, I realized it was something else. It sounded like footsteps, slow and deliberate, moving down the hallway outside my room. I sat up, my heart pounding in my chest. The footsteps grew louder, stopping just outside my door. I held my breath, straining to hear any other sounds. For a moment, there was silence, and then the doorknob began to turn. Panic surged through me, and I leapt out of bed, rushing to the door and yanking it open. The hallway was empty, the only light coming from the moon shining through the windows. I stepped out, my bare feet cold on the wooden floor, and looked around. There was no one there. I spent the rest of the night wide awake, every creak and groan of the old house setting my nerves on edge. By morning, I was exhausted but determined to find out what was going on. Over breakfast, I mentioned the incident to Father Michael. He listened quietly, his expression thoughtful. "You're not the first to experience something like this," he said after a moment. "This rectory has a history of strange occurrences. Some say it's haunted by the spirits of former priests who lived here." I felt a chill run down my spine. I had always been a skeptic when it came to the supernatural, but there was something about Father Michael's tone that made me reconsider. Over the next few days, the strange occurrences continued. I would hear footsteps in the hallway, doors opening and closing on their own, and whispers that seemed to come from the walls themselves. One night, I awoke to find my room freezing cold, my breath visible in the air despite the warm summer weather. I began to feel like I was being watched. No matter where I went in the rectory, I couldn't shake the feeling that unseen eyes were following my every move. It was an oppressive, suffocating sensation that made it difficult to focus on anything else. Father Michael tried to reassure me, but I could see the concern in his eyes. He admitted that he had experienced similar things during his time in the rectory, but he had learned to live with it. "It's part of the history of this place," he said. "The spirits here are restless, but they mean no harm. They are simply present." Despite his words, I found it increasingly difficult to stay in the rectory. The constant feeling of unease, the strange noises, and the chilling cold all wore me down. I began to dread the nights, knowing that I would once again be confronted by the unknown. One evening, as I was preparing for bed, I noticed a small door at the end of the hallway that I hadn't seen before. It was partially hidden by a tapestry, and I felt a strange compulsion to open it. I walked over and pulled the tapestry aside, revealing a narrow staircase leading down into the darkness. I hesitated for a moment, then grabbed a flashlight and started down the stairs. The air grew colder as I descended, and the smell of damp earth filled my nostrils. At the bottom, I found myself in a small, dimly lit room. The walls were lined with old, dusty books, and in the center of the room was a large wooden chest. I approached the chest, my heart pounding. It was covered in strange symbols, and I could feel a palpable sense of dread emanating from it. I hesitated, then reached out and opened the lid. Inside, I found a collection of old, yellow documents. As I sifted through them, I realized they were records of exorcisms performed in the rectory over the past century. Each one detailed the torment of a priest who had lived there, describing the same experiences I had been having, the footsteps, the whispers, the cold. The final document caught my eye. It was a letter from a priest who had lived in the rectory 50 years ago. His words sent a chill down my spine. I fear that the rectory is cursed. The spirits here are not simply restless, they are malevolent. They seek to drive us away, to claim this place as their own. I do not know how much longer I can withstand their torment. I return to my room, my mind racing. I knew I couldn't stay in the rectory any longer. The malevolent presence was too strong, too oppressive. I packed my things and left that night, vowing never to return. As I drove away, I glanced back at the rectory one last time. In the moonlight, it looked like a shadowy specter, its dark windows staring out into the night. I shuddered and turned my attention back to the road, determined to put the experience behind me.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.